ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This is a lot heavier than you'd think it would be. it's finally for me. I knew I had it in me, and the last two Olympics were extremely heartbreaking. So to finally put it down today is just, I'm just so stoked.
That's aerial skier Danielle Scott talking about the weight of her newly minted silver medal. It's taken her four Winter Games to stand on an Olympic podium, so you get the sense she's talking about more than just the physical weight of her new accessory. In fact, she was so nervous ahead of these games, she told her family not to come. I can imagine that was some reunion. Scott was one of six medalists at these games, making them the most successful winter team Australia have ever sent. What's it like to be part of something like that? And what's the secret to Australia's success on the snow and ice? In a weekend treat for you, we ask Danielle Scott herself. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily. Danielle Scott is an aerial skier and now Olympic silver medalist. Danny, welcome back to Australia. How does it feel to come home and have that medal around your neck?
Thank you. Oh my gosh, it's just been so cool to bring this medal home, and especially after telling friends and family not to come and watch. It's just been the best thing ever. And there's a lot of weight behind this medal. Physically it's heavy, but there is a lot of weight behind it.
How hard was that conversation to tell your friends and family not to come? You know, you said to them you were so nervous you didn't want them there. How hard was that conversation?
Yeah, I felt horrible. I'd really, you know, it took me a while to actually make the decision and commit to it. But I think this being my fourth games and knowing exactly what I wanted to achieve, I knew it was the right decision. And I would rather have brought a medal home to them than, you know, potentially given them a hug after a not so great performance in Italy. So I really trusted myself on that. And I'm glad I did follow through with it because it's obviously paid off. And the love and support means the world, but I just needed that focus.
How did they take it? Did you have, a gut feeling? I know that my family probably would have tried to sneak on a plane and be somewhere in Italy so that, you know, they could be there if there was a medal. Did you have any sort of inkling that anyone might try and sneak into Italy? And how did they take you saying, hey guys, please don't come?
It did cross my mind, you know, maybe they've popped up somewhere. But I think back in the World Cup season, you know, when the qualifying and all of that was still going, they'd seen me, unfortunately, not at my potential. You know, I wasn't quite in the right headspace, and there was a lot going on. So I think experiencing that with me, they really understood what I needed, and they were very good about it, and they, you know, they didn't mind. So they were honestly the best thing ever, and I'm just grateful for them.
What was the reunion like?
Oh, it was so many tears of joy, so many screams and hugs, and it's just, I can't even describe it, you know. This is the best feeling in the world, and exactly why I do it, because we spend so much time on the road and so much sacrifice, and I miss a lot of birthdays and Christmases and all that kind of thing. So to bring this joy home is everything I've been working hard towards.
Can you talk to me about the pressure you were feeling ahead of these games? It's your fourth Olympics, and you've been really open about it, and I can't imagine how badly you wanted an Olympic medal. How big, I guess, was the weight on your shoulders coming into Milano Cortina?
Oh, look, it was huge. Looking back at just the last 4 years, you know, I didn't even know if I was going to be at these Olympics. The heartbreak after Pyeongchang and Beijing was huge, and I almost walked away because I was just so frustrated and had come so close to getting medals before but never been able to make it happen. And this 4 years, I just said, 1 year at a time, let's see how we go. Things are going really well. You know, after Beijing, I was able to get number one in the world and then back it up the next year and get number one in the world. So that trust in my team around me was building, and it just kept getting better and better. So I had the belief that it was possible, but at the same time, being my fourth Olympics, you know, it was, here we go again. Am I ready to go through all this heartbreak if it doesn't go well? And I just said, you know what, doesn't even matter. I've got the team around me that I need, so let's just focus on that. And it's exactly what it needed to be.
when you made that back full and you were, you know, skiing to the bottom of the landing hill to wait for your score, did you know that you were a really good medal chance, or were you kind of unsure?
I was very unsure. I didn't want to focus on what the other girls were doing. So, you know, I was listening to my music at the top and just trying to keep myself distracted and focus on my own performance. So when I skied out, I kind of thought, okay, what did I just do? You know, it was pretty good. I was happy with the air and form. You know, the landing was not quite perfect, but it still was good. And I just sort of, I don't know, was trying to take everything in, you know, what the crowd was doing, the announcers and all of that. And I was, yeah, really confused actually. So then when my score popped up, I was just elated. I mean, obviously I was so close to getting that gold medal, but at the Olympics, any medal is, you know, it doesn't matter what the color is. And I was just, yeah, it's still sinking in really. Like it's incredible.
I can hear the joy in your voice, which is fantastic. What music do you listen to at the top?
I have one of the old school shuffles that I keep in my pocket, so I can push the buttons through my suit. And that's the best thing about it, is that it is on shuffle, so it can go anywhere from, you know, G Flip to Rihanna to a bit of AC/DC to, you know, whatever fires on a shuffle. And I think that really helps me just to keep that focus and distraction when I need to.
Do you remember what the song was before you did that final jump that won you a silver medal at the Olympics?
I actually don't recall. I should go back because it's still on pause. It'll be still on the song that it is. I'm going to go find that out after this.
Yeah, well, that'll be your lucky song. You have to make sure you play that at the top of every single jump moving forward. You were one of six medalists at these games, which is the best ever showing for an Australian team at an Olympic Winter Games. What did that feel like to be part of that success?
Oh, look, Australia is on fire right now. We defy the odds. We aren't necessarily known for our winter sports, but I think we've just shown the world that we need to be known now. And we gave Canada a run for their money on the medal tally. They were getting a bit nervous when we were in front of them. So to be a part of such a high caliber of athletes and just beautiful people and beautiful personalities means a lot, because we've stuck together and we've had that fighting spirit together in all the sports. And yeah, I'm honestly just so proud to be a part of it.
And the closing ceremony, the flag bearer there, that must have been a really special conversation to have with Alyssa Campbell, and then a really special moment to have walked into the closing ceremony as one of the two flag bearers. Did you have a moment of like, oh my God, I did it?
Yeah, wow, that privilege was just unbelievable. You know, these games for me have just kind of built on, you know, success just building and building. And Alyssa was a bit cheeky. She came and surprised Cooper and I. We thought we were just taking some photos on the rings and he snuck up on us. And we couldn't believe it. You know, it was a pinch me moment. We had a lot of those moments. And when we actually were holding the flag on the night, waiting behind the beautiful arena and everything, it was so surreal. And to lead Australia's most successful winter team out is the biggest privilege of my life. It's still sinking in. I keep saying that, but it honestly is.
Do you think it will ever sink in?
I don't think it's ever going to sink in. There's so many special moments around just bringing this medal home, you know, whether it's to the local kids and friends and family, and they actually hold it in their hands and they just can't believe it themselves. And that reignites that excitement and just honour in myself. So I think it's always going to come with me. It's my new accessory.
Well, we saw that some of the medals were breaking in Milano Cortina. Is yours still intact?
Luckily, my event was towards the end of the Olympics, so they'd figured that out by the time I got mine. But it's been funny seeing the state of a few medals out there.
Well, that means the celebrations were maybe going a little bit too strong. The one thing that always fascinates me with Australian Winter Olympians is how, growing up somewhere like the coast of New South Wales, for example, do you end up in aerial skiing?
Yeah, and you look at, you know, Cooper and I, we're both from small coastal towns, and I think we've just figured out a really good balance. We spend a lot of time on the road and in a winter world, but to come home and just relax on the beach and enjoy other sports like surfing or fishing and being able to completely switch off is kind of a competitive advantage. So us Aussies, I think we figured it out, and maybe we'll keep that a secret from the rest of the world.
Aside from your own medal and your own personal experiences, did you have a favourite moment from the games, like an event that you went to or something amazing that you saw?
Oh, look, there's so many of these moments. We watched a lot of the other disciplines from afar because we didn't get to the games until later. You know, we're busy training in Switzerland. So I think looking back at that, the moment where we had our own opening ceremony in Switzerland, we had Kazakhstan, Switzerland, Ukraine, Germany and Czech, and we all put on our official uniforms and we just did this little parade around a conference centre while we watched the opening ceremony. And I think when you look at the sport as a whole, we are a family. We are competitors, but we are still a family. And that was really special.
That's the Olympic spirit, the getting together of all of these nations. And I think that's so wonderful. It's been a huge few months for you between World Cup events and then, of course, Olympic Winter Games. Do you get some time to now kick back and, as you say, the secret to the Australian success, enjoy some of this coastal time and thaw out a little bit before you head back to the snow?
Yes, I'm so, so happy to finally be home, jump in the ocean with my dog and just spend the time with friends and family. It's been a big 4 years and we obviously work in 4 year cycles. So I can't wait to debrief with the team eventually once we've had our rest and recovery and start planning the next 4 years, because it's super exciting. And now that we have the water ramp up in Brisbane, you know, it's a privilege to be able to train on home soil and not have to spend more time overseas. So yeah, I'm just enjoying this moment and can't wait to get planning again.
Does this mean we should expect to see you in the French Alps in 4 years' time?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, these Olympics has just been inspirational for myself. To put down some of the best jumps of my life is a really cool feeling. So it'd be silly to stop now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, you've got a medal to defend. And good luck with the next four-year cycle. I hope to be speaking to you a lot across that time. Danielle Scott, congratulations again and thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
I'm Poppy Penny and this is ABC Sport Daily. We'll be back in your feeds as normal on Monday. See you then.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.